sponsored by Taylor Freelance, Rainier Ballistics, Hodgson Powders, and JPL Precision.
Hi, welcome to Power Factor. I'm Larry, and this week we're going to talk about the new production optics division of USPSA. Now, at the time of this recording, it's not a new division yet, but it's just getting a lot of buzz as maybe we should look at this as possibly a new division for the sport. So I did a little bit of research before tackling this topic. Now, normally we would report on rule changes and new additions to the rule book and whatnot, and you see quite a lot of that on the show. But this time, actually, we're going to try and get out ahead of it. And this is kind of, you know, for me, it's kind of like, well, if I was in charge, maybe this is how I would like to see things done, or what I would wish for it to be. So what is production optics? What am I talking about here? That's a proposal to add a division to the sport, which is a set of equipment rules that would be, in this case, drastically different from anything else we've already got. So if you're not already familiar with USPSA shooting, our divisions are open division, which is wide open. I mean, as they say, if you can drag it up to the line, it's probably good to go. There's only just a couple of limitations, but otherwise, I mean, it's full on race guns, optics, and compensators, optic sighting systems like Seymour scopes and things like that, and compensators, which is kind of like a muzzle brake. Those are the two most dominant features you'll see in open division. And in addition to that, the long magazine length of 171 millimeters, which you're in the 30 round capacity for 9 millimeter. So that's open division. Of course, you got limited and limited 10. They're the same guns. They're iron sighted pistols that are full capacity, a little bit longer than factory magazines, say about 20 rounds capacity in 40 caliber. You got your single stack division, which is your traditional 1911s. You got your production division, which is supposed to be your a little bit more stock guns, double action guns, Glocks, traditional double action with the hammer, you know, double single. And then you've got revolver division. And so now they're talking about adding this production optics, and that's to address the growing popularity of mounting an optic sight onto a handgun, but otherwise not getting too crazy like open division is the full top fuel dragsters of USPSA. So I did a little bit of research on the Brian Enos forum before getting here in front of the camera, and actually I'd been off the forum for quite a while, so I've kind of been out of it and out of the loop, and I discovered a thread that's like, I don't know, 65 or 70 pages long, just entitled Production Optics, and apparently it was started by a guy in 2012, which I couldn't believe I was kind of that far out of the loop, but I don't kind of get into that section of the forum very often. And I don't know if this is the birth of it, was this one particular post, but somebody basically posted and said, hey, I would love to shoot my Glock or whatever pistol he had with an optic on it because my eyes are getting bad, but I don't care for the whole, you know, expense, especially that's associated with the open division. I would like to just take this optic, which is already kind of expensive, and mill it and attach it to the slide, which is, you know, there's some money involved there, but otherwise it's, you know, basically kind of a basic stock gun. And the response from some people was, well, we already have a division for that, it's called open. So yeah, okay, fine, yeah, you could do that. You could take your Glock or your M&P core and plunk an optic onto it and go play an open division. You won't be competitive hardly at all. So this is a guy, I think, looking for a place to run a gun that's something less than open, but still with an optic. So the talk, I read through, I don't know, some of the first several pages, and then kind of got to what is the current talk in the last several pages of that thread. And then also my research involved listening to Ben Steger's podcast and having him and listening to him talk about it. And Ben is our U.S. champion over the last, I'm going to say 3 years, Ben, but I'm sorry, maybe it's four, for the U.S. Nationals in production division. And he is adamantly against production optics division, thinks it doesn't need to exist, thinks it's going to water down the sport. It's just going to divide people into further smaller, you know, pieces of, you know, if you got 80 shooters show up for six divisions, now it's going to be seven. It's going to dilute, you know, the field of competition within each division, possibly. And then one little snippet I picked up off of Ben's podcast was his frequent guest and friend Matt Hopkins out of Kansas City said that he's also a grandmaster production shooter, and he was saying that he wouldn't mind seeing something, but not production optics. So now, I'm going to get into kind of what I think and what I feel. I think that I think we do need a division that addresses the growing trend and the growing popularity of mounting these little miniature reflex sights. Like, pretty much the most popular one right now is the Trigicon RMR. There's also a myriad of other brands and models that are out there. Probably the second place model out there is the Leupold Delta Point. There's Burris, and there's older sights from Doctor, and there's Seymour makes little RTS and STS, and there's J Points, and there's numerous other brands of optics that are out there that are small enough to be mounted onto a sight, onto a handgun slide. And so this episode, I know we're already pretty deep into it and kind of give you a little background of what we're talking about, but kind of going to go into if we do this and should we do this as a sport, and kind of my two cents, and, you know, who knows, maybe the BOD will hear this and listen and maybe get some good ideas. I don't know. Heck, one of the BOD members lives a mile from here, so maybe you can hear me from right now. Right now. So I've already weighed in and sent him some emails about what I think it should be. So yeah, so we want to address this, like I've already said, this growing popularity of running optics on a handgun mounted to the slide. And we as a sport, I feel like we should get out ahead of it. We should get in front of it and offer that option for the you know, tactical Timmy guys, no offense, the guys that like to trick out their guns and make everything all tactical. And we're seeing more government agencies and LE agencies go that direction with these optics. I think we should address it by incorporating a special place for those types of guns in our sport. But I don't think it should be production optics. There's so many viewpoints on this topic. There's a group of people out there that say, well, it should just be a production gun with an optic on it. So take what's, you know, a production gun that's already legal and just simply slap an optic on it. But we still follow all the same production rules, and we're, you know, all the 10-round mags and the minor scoring, and it's got to fit the box. And then you've got guys suggesting, well, how do we make it fit the box? Because now there's an optic on it, so we just need to cut a little hole in the box so the optic can poke through and not really count the optic. It's like, yeah, but, you know, come on. I mean, I think that's a little bit, I don't think that's the right way to go personally. I personally think, as a CRO, a chief range officer in the sport, I the rule book's next to my bed, and I kind of read a passage every night. It's my Bible. I think new rules are exciting because it's kind of something. Hey, there's something new to pay attention to, and let's learn it, and let's get out ahead of it, and let's be the guy that knows about this new rule, this new set of rules, and things like that. The most exciting thing I think we can do in our sport is a whole new division. It's like, whoa, now we got a whole new thing to deal with here, and I think it would add a lot of excitement to the sport. But again, like I said, I don't think it should be production optics. So I'm going to kind of go into some of my personal feelings and thoughts. So first of all, how do you get to mount an optic onto the slide of your handgun? Well, doing some research here, and I was looking for optics ready pistols, and I got my little cheat sheet, my notes here. So did some search around, like see what manufacturers are already offering, talking about offering factory pistols, right, straight from the factory, ready to go, just bolt your optic on there, good to go, no gunsmithing required. So what guns are those? So at the time of this recording, we're mid to late June 2015. We are, I'm looking at the FNX 45 Tactical. That's a pistol from FN. It's 45 caliber. It could work for this division, but maybe not be the most competitive the way I lay it out. And 45 is already kind of not the most competitive in a division like limited, for example, when you've got magazine capacity to worry about, and the 40 is smaller diameter, so you get more bullets in a magazine. For the same reason, this may not be as competitive, especially unless there's like a 10 round limit on this division, then maybe it doesn't matter and you can run your 45, your FNX 45 Tactical. So I found that one. Of course, I think the one that that's the most well known is the Smith & Wesson M&P Core, C-O-R-E, and I guess that stands for Competition Optics Ready Equipment. And essentially, Smith & Wesson milled the top of the slide and you get four or five, I don't know, adapter plates that work with all the different optics that have mounting patterns for their different bolt patterns and everything like that. So that's probably the one that hit the market kind of, you know, the first and kind of gained the most traction right away. After that, Glock came out with their MOS line of pistols, which was modular optics system or something like that. I'm sorry if that's not quite right, but modular optic something or other. And it's the same kind of deal. The slide's already pre-milled and there's four or five adapter plates you get with it that have little studs. These adapter plates, they have little studs that stick up in the right places where there's little corresponding holes in the bottom of the optics where they sit down onto that keeps them locked in place so they don't move forward or back or rotate or anything like that. And then you got a couple of screws that actually lock the optic down. And these little adapter plates have tapped, you know, drilled and tapped places for those screws to mount into. So there's Glock's offering with their MOS line. And then I found out that Carr pistols, which are normally known for small concealable concealed carry guns, Carr, K-A-H-R is how it's spelled if you're not familiar with them. Apparently they've got something that's called a Gen 2 Premium 9mm and 1 in 45. These are single stack only pistols and I don't know what their capacities would be, but they're probably also not quite suited for competition. Again, unless it was maybe had a 10 round 9mm single stack. I don't know if it's 10 rounds or not. I don't know if it would be, maybe it would be 9, but who knows what they get into that pistol. I'm not sure exactly how big it is. I think it was a full-size pistol. This one's just kind of in the rumor mill. They've announced it. It's not really out for sale yet, but a single stack pistol, I'm not quite sure if it would fit in whatever this division could possibly become. Maybe it would, but anyway, there's one for you to check out from Carr Arms. And then the last one I found was from SIG, and apparently they claim to be offering their SIG P320, which is kind of the new hotness plastic fantastic pistol in the in the production division, double action gun, or a, you know, kind of a constant action, whatever you call it, safe action like a Glock. And they also apparently make or will make, I don't know how, if this is out on the market yet, a SIG P226 and a P227 with this slide already milled, ready to go from the factory. So that's one place you could go to get this pistol. If this division exists and you want to come play, at least for now, those are the manufacturers that are making these pistols. And And then, of course, there are a plethora of aftermarket places you could go. And I did a bunch of research on that. Most of what I found was Glock related. So sure, yeah, I'm a Glock fanboy, but that's not why this is only a Glock list. I was really hunting around to see if like a Springfield XD, for example. I was shocked to go to Springfield's website and not see an XD prominently featured with an optic mounted to the slide. I was really kind of surprised. I mean, it seems like that pistol, it's square, kind of like a Glock, trapezoidal, but flat on top, and seems like it would fit. And probably not before long, we'll see something from Springfield Armory, I would imagine, offered from the factory. Probably pretty much most anyone that any aftermarket company that mills on a Glock pistol would probably also mill something into any other pistol, as long as there's enough real estate, as long as it slides wide enough to hold that optic. But of course, there's Glock Works, also known as Zev Technologies. Unity Tactical, they make a really cool deal for a Glock. Check them out. In fact, let's show it on the screen right here. They've got an adapter plate that it's like a big dovetail. It slides in from the side, it bolts in from the side, and then, again, the whole adapter plate concept. Your slide is not obsolete by having it milled for one exact certain brand. And then now, 5 years later, that brand or that model of optic has fallen off popularity and there's a new, something even more robust and even better. And now you want that one. But so these adapter plates on any of these pistols really lend themselves to future expandability and all that. So all you got to do is get a new plate, get an adapter plate, and you're good to go. But anyway, Unity Tactical, I really like their offering. One Source Tactical is another shop that these guys, both them and Unity and Glock Works, they make complete slides. You can just buy a slide. You don't have to send yours in to get it milled. You can just buy a stainless steel slide that's already cut and it's already done whatever. They've already got everything that they like to do to it. They've got forward cocking serrations on some of these. They've got some fancy cuts on some of these things. Actually, I found some interesting things from Lone Wolf Distributors. They're a big popular aftermarket Glock warehouse, Glock manufacturing guys there. Glockmeister, I found someplace called Fire 4 Effect, the number 4, and DP Custom Gunworks. That's just a sampling of some things I found. L&M Precision. Those guys work directly with Unity Tactical to mill OEM slides. They've got the license to make that cut that you see on the photo of Unity Tactical. So check them out too. So that's kind of like, that's my list of where to get this equipment, how you get started in this division, should it exist at some point in the future. Let's kind of talk about what I think it should be, what I would like to see. And I don't really have a horse in this race. I don't know, it might be fun to, take my Glock 23 and put an optic on it and just run in what is otherwise production. I suppose I could have fun with that with 10 round mags and everything else. But I think what we as a sport, as an organization, should do is a little bit more than that. I mean, is that exciting to just take your Glock 17 and put an optic on it? I don't know. In terms of furthering the sport, is it that exciting? I don't think so. And a reason why I think it should not just be production optics, which is a gun that's already production legal, and let's just add an optic to it. One reason for that is, where are people going to be getting their slides milled? And if you go to one of these places like Unity Tactical, like Glock Works, like L&M Precision, like what was the other one I just named? Well, of course there's Lone Wolf. Of course, One Source Tactical. The problem I think with that is, so you want to, maybe a lot of people like to keep their guns stock. So I'm just going to buy an aftermarket slide, slap it on there, and if I ever feel like selling the gun, hey, here it is. It's untouched. It's stock. Nobody is the wiser that you had a different slide running on it, and no big deal, right? But when you just go buy an off the shelf, these guys, you know, they've got CNC machines and they're cranking them out a dozen at a time or whatever. They've got front caulking serrations and a few other little touches that would not otherwise be legal in production division. So if you just said, take your production legal gun and put an optic on it, well, now those companies can't really play or participate, or they have to change the way they do things. And I think where a lot of these guys running optics on their handguns already, that's kind of where they're already going to get their stuff. And they probably already have a little feature like front forward caulking serrations near the muzzle end of the slide that would eliminate you away from what would otherwise be production optics. So I would suggest maybe we call it something more like combat optics or TAC optics, tactical optics, although that's kind of borrowing a phrase from 3-Gun. The TAC optics division is, you know, I think pretty much the most popular 3-Gun division where you're allowed to run one optic and you can put it on any of your 3 guns. Well, everybody puts it on their AR, of course. I don't necessarily think by USPSA calling this new pistol division TAC optics, that wouldn't necessarily translate to 3-Gun. A guy couldn't take his optic ready pistol to 3-Gun, say, hey, it's TAC optics for USPSA and here's my TAC optics rifle, and now you got two optics and that doesn't work. So you get one optic in 3-Gun in that division. But anyway, so I would suggest calling it something like that, because you have the tactical Timmies, no offense guys, but the cops and the high zoot, you know, the SWAT guys and the wannabes also out there. That's what you're doing to your guns. You want to make it look cool, you want to cut it up, you want these forward serrations, you want lightning cuts, you want to cut some windows in the side of the side or the top of the slide to lighten the weight a little bit, whatever you want to do. Guys are already going down that road. You know, it's like, if I'm going to put an optic on it, I'm going to put all kinds of other cool shit on it too. So I think we need to do something to incorporate those guys, to let them come play with us, instead of once again saying, oh, you know, your gun's not welcome here. I mean, of course, every gun, just about every gun's welcome. It fits in some division, right? I mean, it'll fit in open if nothing else. Of course, you're not going to be competitive, and that's no fun. So we want to make this fun for these guys to come play with us and grow the sport. And I think if this comes to be and they hear about it, hey, here's a perfect place to go run my new tactical pistol that I've got all dressed up and get to show that off to everybody and go look cool doing it. So I'm going to go through my list of features that I think it should be and what it shouldn't be. And at the same time, follow the format of one of the divisions here in the Appendix D of the rule book. And I'll just open here to production division. I'll follow production division because, I don't know, maybe that's the most... I don't know. After I describe this, you're going to say, oh, so it's a combination of production division and limited division plus an optic. That's kind of where I'm going with this. So hear me out. Got my notes here. So here's what I think Appendix D4 would be for this new division. Number one, minimum power factor for major. Well, in production division, it's not applicable. I think, and I could maybe be talked out of this, I kind of think it should be major, minor division, like limited division is. I think it should be 165 power factor for major, 125 for minor, the same as pretty much every other division that has a major, minor, where you can decide. And let me get down a little further. Minimum for minor, 125. Minimum bullet weight, no. Minimum caliber is minimum caliber, 9x19. And minimum caliber for major, I would say, just like limited division, 40 Smith & Wesson or the more recently adopted 357 SIG caliber. So I think, and like I said, I could probably be talked out of this if I was on the board of directors, but I think I would like to see it as a major minor division with You know, because you're just like any other division, you're punished for the heavier recoil, so you're rewarded with more points to offset that. And I think if some of these guys that are not already in the sport and they've got their 40 caliber gun and they're only buying factory ammunition, I think it would be good to incorporate a major scoring in this new division so that they could take full advantage of that thumper of a 180 grain, you know, or a 165 grain, which runs, you know, in the mid 170s out of the, you know, factory, you know, Winchester stuff, you know, from my experience, some of the stuff I've chronoed before. I think that would be good. I lost my page. Maximum handgun size. I say no. The whole box thing I talked about before, there is a box that your production gun has to fit into, and that's one of the ways that we make sure it's all, you know, legal. I don't think so. I think this should be a little bit more open to whatever you think you need to get the job done. You know, USPSA is the sport of freedom, and we let you, for the most part, you know, especially when it comes to running the course of fire, shoot them as you see them. You know, you start here and there's the targets, go sick. You want to go right and then left? Fine. You want to go left and then right? Fine. You know, do what you got to do to solve the problem. And I think, I don't think this division should be restricted in handgun size at all. Maximum magazine length. I say that what I would love to see, and somewhere in here we also have that's bullet point 8 in the appendix for production division. Bullet point 8 is maximum magazine length. Bullet point 9 is maximum ammunition capacity. These two together I'm going to comment on. What I would love to see, it would be fun and it would really shake up the sport, is flush fit magazines, full capacity. So far, everything I've laid out so far, we're looking at, and I'm a Glock guy, so let's talk Glocks, but you're looking at minor power factor, Glock 17, 17 round magazines. Major power factor, Glock 22, 15 round magazines. So just like limited division today, you could run major and with a 40 caliber diameter case and have, let's say, 20, 21 in the gun if you got a real fancy, highly tuned magazine that probably is real finicky also. But let's say 20 rounds in the gun on average for major. You want to run minor and shoot 9mm in limited division against everybody else. Most people shoot major. Seeing a lot of guys shoot minor these days. And with the same length magazine, you're only restricted in length, not capacity in limited. Fill it up. Here's the length. Fill it up with as many as you can get in there. 40s get about 20 rounds, and the 9s are getting about 23. Maybe 24, but I'd say 23 is average. So you're looking at just a few extra rounds, which can really help you in a stage, or you know, you get the lighter recoil and the higher capacity, or you get the heavier recoil and the lower capacity, but you get the more points on major. So that's what I would love to see. I would love to see flush fit magazines, full capacity. I also checked out the capacities of these other guns. And this is where I'm thinking, maybe the FNX 45 Tactical, not quite as competitive, but maybe not so bad, because actually it's a 15 round capacity and a Glock 22, 40 caliber, 15 round capacity. So, hey, you got major power, you got 15 round capacity, 45 versus 40 in this case. So I misspoke, sorry for FN. Actually, it could be, based on what I'm laying out, maybe it could be competitive in this game, for sure. The Smith & Wesson is identical to Glock. It's, you know, your 9mm are running 17 rounds, your 40s are running 15 rounds. Like I said, on the car, single stack only on that car pistol. So maybe not quite so good. And then the SIGs, I'm finding 17 rounds in 9 and only 14 in 40s. You're down one round compared to a Glock or an M&P. And the P226 looks like they run mag capacity of 15 and 12 for 9 and 40, And then the 45 ACP SIG P227, 10 rounds, that's pretty restricted there in capacity for that. But I think that would be exciting. I mean, so far we have open division with 171 millimeter magazines, and they're super highly tuned magazines, and they're you need some fancy stuff for the most part in order to get that magazine. And then limited division, kind of the same. You need to add special base pads and a little bit extra long magazine springs, and you have to kind of build those magazines. And then you get to, well, you know, single stack division, they run, you know, because they're single stacks, you just run whatever factory magazine. There's nothing fancy about their magazines. They're fully loaded at 8 rounds. And then you get to production division, and everybody's carrying 17 round magazines, but you got to load to 10. And so I think, you know, how cool would it be to actually be able to use the full capacity of the factory magazine? We don't have a place for that right now. I think it'd be neat. You know, should it be minor scoring only? Back to what I said earlier, you know, if I was the guy in charge, maybe I could be talked into it, but maybe I'm just biased because I'm a 40 guy and, you know, I want to shoot major 40 in something like this. So, anyway, that's what I think it could be and should be. Bullet point 10, maximum distance. I think it should be, this is maximum distance of the holster off the side of your belt. I think it should be like production division rules. You know, nothing up front, hip bone, from the hip bone back, dropped and offset holsters, no problem. You know, all that good stuff. Magazines, same thing, kind of magazines on, you know, behind the hip on the other side and on your weak side, just like production division. That's kind of, I think that's how it would be. It's kind of the tactical stuff. It's not the gamer stuff with everything kind of right in the front, right in front of your belt buckle, the guns right here and the mags right there. You know, I think that's something that, I think that's what it should be in terms of magazine and holster position and offset from the belt, the usual 2 inches, which is like every division. We've got, number 13, optical or electronic sights permitted. Well, of course, in production division, it says no, but in this one, of course, we're going to say yes. Permitted, absolutely. Required, I don't know. Do you let a guy come in and show you up with his iron sights? Why the heck not? You know, I say that bullet point in the rule book should be optics permitted, not required. And now here's where it gets a little fancier. So far we've been talking about these RMRs mounted to the top of your slide. Well, what about laser grips? What about the Laser Max guide rod? I know that sounds old, but hey, they still make it. That was kind of one of the first lasers that was really cool. You know, it's like right in line with the bore. It replaces your guide rod and everything. But, you know, we frequently have people show up with their, I don't know, Beretta 92, and they got laser grips. And it's like, well, you know, I know this is your first match. Just turn that off. But next time you come, don't have those grips on there, or else we're kicking you out and putting you in open division. Because even if you switch it off, you know, that's just flat out not allowed in production division. But, you know, at a club match, at a level one match, you see that not often, but when you do see it, that's usually the response. Well, you know, you can't be running a laser, but if you shut it off, we'll let you play today, but next time do it right. I say, why not? This is the tactical division now. So bring out your lasers, your laser grips, your laser guide rods, and then on top of that, why not a rail mounted light laser combo, you know, kind of deal. If you got a laser that you trigger with your thumb, like a Insights or any of those, you know, Streamlights or whatever, Crimson Trace, of course, with all their product line, why not? As long as it's functional. I would want to make sure the rules were such that a guy couldn't hang a rail mounted light on his dust cover and then have it not operational, just fill it full of lead and just, you know, use it as a weight. You know, that's getting away from what we're trying to do here. If it's on the gun, it needs to be functional. You have to have batteries in it and actually be able to use the thing. But why not? I mean, you know, the traditional thinking is that lasers are not that competitive, but so what? Let people have a place to play with their lasers. I mean, yeah, you could do it in open division right now. Can't say I've ever seen it done, but again, why not? Why make it just an optic? Why not have this iron sight pistol with a laser grip? Hey, what the heck? Why not? A guy shows up with his Beretta 92, 15 round mags, 9mm with laser grips. Here's a place for you to play, and maybe you won't be too big of a disadvantage and get to use your laser. What the heck? Why not? Let the guys play with these toys they bought with their, you know, $300, $400 accessories. Let them play with it. I think it would be great. You know, again, maybe it's not that competitive, but who knows? Let's let them try it out and let them figure that out. Let, you know, and figure out what's the best equipment. I mean, what a great place to test this gear. Rather than, you know, when there's that big knock at the door, then and you know the door actually gets busted down, and then you got to figure out if the stuff works or not. Let's figure out if it works on the competition circuit. So optical electronic sights permitted. I would also add to that backup iron sights allowed but not required. You know, of course, why not? I mean, you see a lot of co-witness iron sights through these RMRs. And their delta points and all these reflex sights. Some guys, you know, have the rear sight behind the optic. Some companies put the rear sight in front of the optic. And if you don't want backup iron sights, well, then fine. You don't want them, you don't need them. That's fine. I think that'd be great. I think it'd be fine doing it that way. Compensators permitted. No. That's what I say. I'm reading this out of production division, but no, we don't want compensators permitted. There's a division for that for sure, and that's called open division. You want compensators, that's where you go. And in addition to that, for tactical optics or combat optics or whatever we're going to name this thing, I'd say also no barrel porting at all. I mean, no compensation whatsoever. Even if you got a factory ported barrel, yeah, that's you belong in open at that point. We're not no jetting of gases for recoil control or muzzle flip control. None of that. We don't need that here. But what about slide ports permitted? Yeah, I don't know. Do we want to have these guns with a whole bunch of holes cut in them for weight reduction if the user perceives that that's an advantage? I don't know. I would say that, you know, caulking serrations up front would be permitted. Some of that kind of to aid in gripping the gun should probably be permitted, but maybe not, you know, holes cut everywhere and drastic slide lightening. That's kind of, at least in my mind, of what this could be. I think that's kind of getting away from it a little bit if we're going down the tactical road. Or if, you know, we're just kind of... We're not trying to create something that doesn't yet exist. We're trying to incorporate things that already do exist, essentially. And so there's a bunch of, you know, like I said, there's a bunch of slides out there that are for the tactical market. And they're not cut up that way. And I don't know. I don't know whether they should allow that or not. I could be talked into it. Hell, I like cutting holes in the slide myself. Maximum weight. I don't care. I don't think it would matter. Specifically approved handguns, like a approval list. Nah, I don't think so. In those respects, I think it should be more like limited division, like, kind of prototypes allowed kind of thing, which you're not going to get a whole lot of prototyping and this kind of stuff other than fancy serration cuts or whatever else. Holster and magazine restrictions. Yeah, I think I already kind of touched on this, but no race gun type, bikini type holsters. We want kind of production, you know, production holsters, I think. Tactical holsters. I don't think I want to see, I wouldn't want to see a Safari Land, like 014 holster in this division. That's kind of not what it's for, you know. That's not catering towards that crowd. The tactical crowd that we would like to attract to our sport. You know, if they see a bunch of guys running that gear and they go, oh, I have to buy a $200 holster in order to play, I'm not interested. And then they go home. This is to help grow our sport and to create a place for the guys that already have this gear. So now production division rules run several pages, and I'm not gonna read all this stuff. So I think something else that just popped into my mind, by the way, and kind of backtrack a little bit, but as far as magazines go, Flush Fit magazines, I would say, you know, are extensions permitted? Well, not for capacity, not for capacity. If you got a Glock 17, you got 17 rounds. That's what fits in the factory mag. That's what you get to run, 17 plus one. But if you want to change out your base pad and get yourself a Taylor Freelance brass base pad because you perceived a little bit of added weight helps you control recoil, I don't see why not. A little flat, you know, it mimics the factory profile and shape. Just adds a little weight, okay. If you want the aluminum one, kind of like I've got, it's a little bit of bling, but doesn't really do, has any functionality, why not? You want something like from Vickers that actually does have a little flare to it that kind of helps you rip it out of the gun if it's jammed in there for some reason. It doesn't, if it doesn't add any capacity, I would say I don't see why not. If you want some aftermarket magazine base pad, whether it adds weight or not, I don't think I would care. I don't think that would matter. I just wouldn't want to see it like super long for, I don't know, for whatever reason, you know, even if it's a plus zero, like Dawson used to make a plus zero, but it was like the same size as their plus four, you know, base pad, just solid aluminum block, essentially. I don't think we need anything like that in this division. Also magazine wells, no magazine wells. You got to be factory. You know, if you want to cut a little half moon shape so you could more easily grab your magazine to rip it out, I don't see why not. That's kind of part of the tactical crowd, right? But a Seattle slug or a magazine well that helps guide and funnel that mag into the mag well, that's not what this division's for, and there's other places for you to play with that kind of equipment, I would say. The other, let me kind of, now I've been through kind of the official way USPSA lays out their divisions. Let me just kind of check my notes here. One thing I see, first of all, is if we're running an optic, it's got to be mounted to the slide. None of this frame mount where the optic is mounted to the frame and it's held up above the slide and the slide cycles underneath it, but the optic is otherwise still. I mean, you're going to have muzzle flip in this division, so it's going to kick around a bit, but no, this, if you're going to put an optic on the gun, I would say it has to be mounted to the slide. It just has to be. You want a frame mounted, you get to go play an open. No compensators or ported barrels. We talked about that. Flush fit magazines. We talked about that. Lasers allowed. Talked about that. What else? There was something else in here I wanted to get to. Oh, of course, the trigger action. I think it should be like production division already. So that's, you know, your safe action pistols, your double action pistols, your double action onlys, your traditional double actions, and all of those. Double action, first pull of the trigger. You know, your traditional double action, which nowadays people call double single, double action, single action, like your Berettas, like your SIGs. Like so many other pistols, Smith & Wesson's and everything else. I think this is not a single action division. We already have a place for those guns. It's called limited and it's called open. If you want an optic and a single action gun, I think you get to play in open. If you want a single action gun with iron sights, I think you get to play in limited. I think this is more of a kind of plastic fantastic division, tactical. Dress it up, accessorize it, and let's go see what that puppy can do. I don't know if everybody supports my views on this. It's just, you know, kind of, if Larry was president of USPSA, which is never going to happen, that's kind of where I would tend to steer it. I think what I just laid out would best incorporate the guys that are already out there. And maybe they're looking for a place to play, and maybe they don't even know about us yet. But when they find out that you can take your Glock 17 with your optic and your front cocking serrations and stoke it up all the way, 17 round magazines, and come run the gun like it was designed to be run, I think it'd be a big hit for sure. Now, what do we do with seven divisions? I don't know if I even want to touch that, but you know, having seven divisions, is that really Is that a good thing or not? I mean, we've already got six. It's already, people say it's already kind of watered down. There's already too many places to play or too many places to hide. If you're, you know, traditionally, if you're a poor shooter, you shoot limited 10 instead of limited because there's fewer people playing in that division, at least in this state and most states. I don't know. I'm not going to even touch that. That's kind of what the board of directors thinks would be best for the sport, I suppose. I will say the most popular thing would be to kill limited 10 in favor of something like I just laid out. I don't know. You know, there's those states that only get 10 round magazines. How would it affect them? I don't know. They just get to play in limited with 10 round magazines, I guess. I mean, would it affect your classifications? No, probably not. I mean, classifiers are not designed around high capacity magazines. They're traditionally 5 shots, 6 shots, whatever, reload, not so whatever. But anyway, let us know. I know this is going to be a hot topic, a lot of comments. It's already a big hot topic on the interwebs, the ultranet, and I'd like to see it be a hot topic here on Power Factor Show. So if you have any comments, and I know you will, if you have any questions, send them to us to our email address at powerfactorshow@gmail.com. Comments, leave them on Facebook, please, facebook.com/powerfactorshow. On YouTube, we're Power Factor Show. And of course, our website, powerfactorshow.com. Of course, as always, any topic you're interested in when it comes to shooting and competitive shooting, whether it's IDPA or USPSA or the clay target shotgun sports, or if it's about reloading or bullet types or whatever, go to our website, use the search bar, and you can filter these topics and you can zero in on the things that you're most interested in. Also, as always, thanks to all of our sponsors. Please check them out. Taylor Freelance, Rainier Ballistics, Hodgdon Powders, and JPL Precision. Until next week, I'm Larry. See you later.